Once again, from Hollywood, California, we bring you the Life Boy program, starring Al Jolson with Martha Ray.
Roses are red and violets are blue, but I'm not. Woo!
Park your carcass.
Don't count your chickens before you leap.
Our special guests, Marie Wilson and Charlie Butterworth.
Well, folks, all I got to say is...
Charlie, you're so funny.
And Lud Bluskin and his orchestra. And now, friends, we bring you a boy among boys, a man among men, and a prince among entertainers, the star of our show, Al Jolson.
Thank you, folks, and good evening. Three lads named Al Dubin, Harry Warren, and Johnny Mercer have turned out many a fine song hit for many a year. Now they have another grand tune called Confidentially. Don't look now, ladies and gentlemen, but just listen. Have you heard the startling news? It's an expose. I'll tell you, but don't give me away. Won't you kindly listen to all I have to say? It may not please you, then it may. Confidentially, I'm so in love, I go floating through the sky. Confidentially, the stars above have seen the secret in my eyes. Though I know that everybody's guessing, I'm not confessing who. But darling, you are bound to know eventually, so confidentially, it's you. Confidentially, I cannot tell if it's night or if it's day. Confidentially, I think it's well to laugh if skies are blue or gray. If you're wondering just who it is that makes all my dreams come true, stop guessing. You are bound to know eventually. So confidentially, it's you.
You know, Al, I don't know what it is, but tonight you seem to have a plaintive tone in your voice. Sort of a dreamy look in your eye.
You're right, Tiny. What you saw was a reflection of my thoughts. After all, we're leaving for New York tomorrow, and you know, I haven't seen my mother and dad in over a year. And I'm just carried away with the anticipation. Tiny, you must meet my dad. He's 82 years old, and he's as spry and active as you are.
Really?
Yes, sir. He's a firm believer in health preservation, and is continually searching for pills to make him young. I'll never forget the last time I went home for a visit. I was approaching my house when I noticed a pretty young woman coming towards me and holding a little boy by the hand. Well, the minute she saw me, she stretched out her arms and said, "Albert, my son, welcome home." I said, "Mother, what happened to you? You look so young." And she said, "Your father discovered a new pill and I took one." I said, "That's fine, but who's the little boy by your side?" And she said, "That's your father. He took two of them."
That if Park your carcass told it.
Now, just a moment, Tiny Ruckner. Just a moment. Don't get after Parky. Parky's all right. He's been a great help to me in making arrangements for our trip to New York. He packed my trunks, had them delivered to the depot, and this morning I gave him $903.17 to buy tickets for everybody. I'll take it, Tiny. Hello?
This is me, Park your carcass.
Oh, Parky, where are you?
I'm still downtown. I'm jumping in my car now, and I'll be right over.
Well, hurry up, Parky. Hurry up. What? Parky, what took you so long?
I got held up in traffic.
Parky, look, I have no time for jokes. No? I sent you for train tickets early this morning. Train tickets, where are they?
Well, I was on my way to the depot, Justin. Yeah? I stopped in to see a show. 20 beautiful imported hula dancers.
Now, Parky, just a moment. I appreciate your aesthetic soul, but that shouldn't have taken you all day.
I stayed to see it 12 times.
Well, naturally.
You see, those hula-hula dancers, the girls had pictures tattooed on their arms and shoulders.
Sure.
And every time they danced, Jocelyn, the pictures would move.
Sure.
And that proves it.
Proves what?
Motion pictures are your best entertainment.
Sparky, listen to me. We're going to New York.
Yeah?
New York, the melting pot of a nation. The most cosmopolitan city in the world. Aren't you interested just that little bit?
Oh, sure. I love New York. But it's so much more beautiful than Philadelphia, I think I'll settle down in Cincinnati or Ohio.
Parky, just a moment. Not Ohio. That's Ohio.
Oh.
Ohio. And, Parky, that's a beautiful state, too.
Yeah, well, I'm going to sue Ohio for definition of character.
Wait a minute. What did the state of Ohio do to you?
Well, last summer, when I was traveling through Ohio,
yeah,
they wouldn't cash my check.
They wouldn't cash your check?
No, sir. And I'm going to sue Youngstown for refusing my check.
Yeah.
I'm going to sue Cleveland for refusing my check. And I'm going to sue Toledo for refusing my check.
Wait a minute. What about Dayton? Why don't you sue Dayton?
No, you can't sue Dayton.
Why not?
No checks there.
Never mind about your checks. Did you get my ticket? Did you get me my drawing room?
No. You can't get a drawing room.
Why not?
Because drawing rooms are only for dentists.
I see. You got to have a pool.
Yeah. Ain't it the truth?
Well, we gummed that up. Now, Parky, for the next to the last time, where are the railroad tickets?
The tickets. Let me see the tickets.
Now, Parky, a moment. Please, you're driving me crazy. To put up with a man like you, you must be a martyr. Honestly, I'm a martyr. Really, I am.
Here I am, Al.
Oh, hooray. Martha, darling, you're a lifesaver. Maybe you can make Parky understand the importance of our trip to New York.
Oh, never mind, Parky, Al. Look what I brought you for a going-away present. A cowhide bag and a calfskin bag.
Now, Martha, look, honey, that's over-generous of you. But either the cowhide or the calfskin bag would have been enough.
Oh, I know, Al, but I didn't want to separate the calf from its mother.
Well, listen, honey, I do appreciate the thought, but tell me, is the big bag genuine cowhide?
Genuine? Why, every time you pull the straps, you get an eye full of milk.
Martha, listen, Martha, dear, I always Parky was as thoughtful as you are. I sent him for the ticket this morning, and I haven't got him yet.
Yep.
Come on, Parky. Come on now. Don't play with me any longer. Give me the railroad ticket.
Don't get excited, dear. Here are the tickets, the whole 15 of them. You got
15 of them? Parky, just a moment. There are only 14 of us going.
I know, it's 15. You see, my uncle is going too.
Now, just a moment. Yeah. Just a moment. Nobody wants your uncle. Nobody wants your uncle. Now, listen, in the first place, what's your uncle got to do with this show?
Oh, I got to take him along. You see, I got a telegram from my Greek lodge in New York, and they asked me to bring him.
A telegram from your Greek lodge asking to bring your uncle?
Yeah, it says, when you come to New York, be sure you bring the latest dope from Hollywood. That's my uncle. I got it.
Martha, will you check those bags and things, please, honey?
I let a song go out of my heart. It was the sweetest melody. I know I lost heaven, for you were the star. Oh, since you and I have drifted apart, life doesn't mean a thing to me. Please come back, sweet beauty. I know I was wrong. Am I too late to make amends? You know that we were meant to be more than just friends. Just friends. I let a song go out of my heart. Believe me, darling, when I say I won't know sweet music until you return. My heart has one too.
Barney Ruffner speaking, friends. I have another brief series of scenes called Critical Moments in the Lives of People. 5 minutes before Jim Ranburn's lunch hour in the office.
It's 12 o'clock, Tom. How about lunch?
Sorry, old man. Take a look at that stuff on my desk. I doubt if I'll be able to eat it all today.
On the street.
Oh, Mary, how are you?
Fine, Jim. You'll excuse me if I run along. I have a luncheon date.
In a restaurant.
Hiya, Bill. Mind if I join you?
Sorry, Jim. I'm expecting a friend.
See you again sometime. Why do people avoid Jim Ranburn? He's young and friendly, and yet you always see him eating a lonely, solitary lunch. Always seems to be alone. Why? Because too often he fails to make a good impression. Because he doesn't realize that every daily contact one person has with another may be a critical moment in both their lives. Critical? Because each person forms an impression of the other. And nothing can spoil the impression you make more certainly than B.O. And you know something? The sad part of it is, people with B.O. seldom know that they're offending. That's why it's so important for all of us to play safe. And here's an easy, pleasant way to do just that. Simply use Lifebuoy Health Soap. Daily baths with Lifebuoy's rich, abundant lather protect you against B.O., get you extra clean. So be prepared for critical moments when you're with other people. Join the millions of fastidious men and women who make a Lifebuoy bath their daily habit. And now the spotlight moves back to Al Jolson.
We've all heard the expression, beautiful but dumb. At first glance, this description might fit one of our guests tonight. She's played this type of role in several pictures. And after her performance in Boy Meets Girl, well, it looks like stardom is assured for the little lady. But if Marie Wilson is dumb, ladies and gentlemen, then the Warner Brothers should be making still pictures. Here she is, folks, Marie Wilson. Well, Marie, it's really nice to see you.
Oh, thank you, Al. You know, I surely envy you going to New York.
Yeah?
Gee, New York, the Windy City. With its wonderful Michigan Boulevard.
Just a moment, Marie. Windy City, Michigan Boulevard. Why, honey, you're thinking of Chicago.
Well, I love Chicago, too.
Yes?
With its Empire State Building and its Times Square, Central Park.
Yes, Times Square and Central Park. Yeah, now you're thinking of New York.
You know, you don't know where you're going, do you?
Now, look, honey. Look, Marie, darling. Look, let's forget about where we're going and stay here a minute. First of all, there's a little question I'd like to ask you. Now, if you don't mind, when you were at Warner Brothers making that picture Boy Meets Girl with Pat O'Brien and Jimmy Cagney, confidentially now, which was your favorite leading man?
Errol Flynn.
Errol, Marie, look, I'm afraid you're a little too much for me. I'm going to call on an old pal of mine to help me out. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to meet now a fellow who's made you laugh consistently, both on the screen and over the air. One of America's top-ranking comedians, Charlie Laughing Boy Butterworth.
Oh. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for that nice reception.
Yes, said Marie, that applause was for Charlie Butterworth.
Oh, that's all right. You know what I always say.
No, Charlie, what do you always say?
Funny things just slip my mind.
Charlie, you're cute. You know, and I surely appreciate you for coming over to be a guest on my program.
Well, you think nothing of it, Marie. I'd like to have you guest on my program soon.
Now, Charlie, just a moment. I didn't know you had a program.
You didn't know I had a program? Well, while on the air for an hour every night, we just play dance records.
Dance records? Do you announce them?
No, I just change them.
Now...
Well, I'm afraid you'll have to excuse me now because I'm going over and be a guest star on the Al Jolson program.
The Al Jolson program. Look, Marie, when you see Jolson, give my regards to Cantor. Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye.
Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad you like my little offering.
Good night, all.
Wait a minute, Charlie. Wait a minute. You can't go yet. You just came in.
Oh, is that who that was?
I want to tell you, Charlie, though, all kidding aside, it's good to see you again. Well, you know, it's been months since I've seen you on Hollywood Boulevard.
Have you seen me on Vine Street?
No, I haven't, not even on Vine Street.
Say, it comes to me now, I've been in complete seclusion for quite a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me, what happened?
Well, I'll tell you. It was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Well, I liked it so well, I've just kept it that way ever since.
Charlie, you mean you lived all by yourself?
Yes, indeed. Just a few choice friends, a small swing band, and my faithful houseboy, Janet.
You must come over to my place sometime and meet my chauffeur, Henrietta. Charlie, look, what kind of a house has he got anyway? I'm interested.
Well, it's a very peaceful little place, all soundproof throughout. Really, Al, you're so quiet you can hear a guest drop.
Well, Well, tell me something. Don't you get lonesome up there by yourself?
Oh, I don't get time to, Al. You know, I've been making quite a study of the Greek drama lately.
Greek drama, huh?
Among other dull facts I found, I discovered that the first Greek comedy writer was Aristophanes.
Wait a minute, Mr. Butterscotch. Wait a minute. When you say Aristophanes, smile.
Why?
You look better that way.
Get him out of here, will you?
Besides, Aristophanes was my uncle.
Now, Parky, wait a minute. Aristophanes has been dead for over 3,000 years.
Oh, that's why my aunt hasn't seen him lately.
What?
You know, Al, I'm glad Parky stumbled out here because I've just written a little drama and I'd like you both to try it out with me tonight.
You have? Well, what is your play about, Charlie?
Well, the play itself isn't so much, but Al, the plot is really terrible. I call it Nightmare on the Yukon.
Yeah, and you can take it or leave it.
Well, yes. Very amusing.
Yeah. All right, Charlie. And now while we get into our raccoon coats and drape some icicles around the microphone, Lud Gluskin will get us all into the proper mood for an epic of the North, playing a number that is so peculiarly appropriate that it frightens me to mention it. The title, Sweet Georgia Brown. Come on, Martha, we're going to do it. Now, folks, for the drama. The action takes place in Yessem, Alaska, right outside of Nome. In this frigid epic, Charlie Butterworth plays two rip-snorting roles. For one of them, he wears a long black mustache wired for sound. Marie Wilson plays Alaskan Annie, as fascinating a gal as ever trapped salmon in a hairnet. Parky plays Rummy, and the part fits him. And I play the part of Klondike Kid, a half-breed. At my salary, why should I play a full-breed?
What a life. What a life. They told me the section was full of gold. I've been up here 20 years come St. Michaelmas, And all I've been able to pan is two gold fillings out of my back teeth. But I'll stick it out if it takes me. Wait a minute. What's this? San Bernardino. I found it at last. Why, this nugget is the size of a lemon. Ah, nuggets, it is a lemon. Hello. What was that? Hello.
Who is that?
First character. There, you. You with the pan.
Listen, never mind my pan. You know Robert Taylor, you know. What do you want?
I wonder if I could interest you in a fuller brush.
Mush, 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 mush.
What's that? What's that?
Sounds like an old man ordering breakfast.
Yeah. Hey there, partner. Stop your dog sled there.
All right. Whoa, back. Whoa there.
Now,
whoa.
Just a moment, stranger. That ain't a way to stop a dog sled. Whoa is for horses.
Go on. Oats is for horses. Straw is for cows. M is for mother. And oil is for the lamps of China.
Well, I'll have to be going now. I'm a traveling salesman, you know.
Why? Where are you all going?
I've got to see an Eskimo farmer's daughter about getting a cold shoulder. So
get out of here.
Well, goodbye, personality.
Goodbye. Say there, you partner. Pardon my rubber gloves, but I didn't catch your name.
Well, I'm the Klondike Kid, and I'm heading for town. Who are you?
I'm Pierre Jean Jacques André Louis Henry Duval, and I'm the best done Greek Frenchman in all Mexico. I'll take you to town. Say, what do you got in that bag?
Oh, what I got in the bag?
Yeah.
Gold. Gold nugget. As big as your head. Only brighter.
Well, hop on my dog sled. Come on, dogs. Mush. Mush on down to Tennessee.
What was that?
I guess my lead dog has been chewing Bull Durham. Well, here we go. Say, you know, this is a tough joint, Klondike.
Klondike?
Yeah.
My name is Klondike. Never mind that, Klondike. Oh, yeah. But don't worry. I can take care of myself. Go over there and bring Alaska Nanny over to my table.
Alaska Mammy?
Alaska Nanny, I said.
All right, Alaska. Why, you're taking your life in your hands there, Klondike. She's been running around with Blackie Desmond, the sourpuss of the Yukon.
Blackie Desmond, eh?
Yes, sir.
Well, you can't scare me. I'm too nervous. Oh. Bring Annie over here.
All right, you asked for it. Hey, Annie.
Annie. Hello, tall, dark, and winsome.
Annie, I ain't seen you in months. Tell me, what you been doing all the while I was gone?
Well, I've been knitting a Blackie Desmond a bulletproof sweater.
I'm surprised at you. How can you forget the nights under the bright Alaskan moon when we strolled by the lake? Don't you remember how I held your hand?
Oh, yes.
How I took in my arms and whispered sweet nothings in your little pink ear?
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, what about Blackie Desmond?
Well, he's not so bad either. Look out. Look out, here he comes and he's perfectly furious.
Oh, excuse me for interrupting here.
Who are you?
Character number two.
Oh,
I'm Blackie Desmond, and Annie's my girl.
Oh, come on, come on. I know your reputation as a bad man and a killer. Why do you stand there looking at me? Why don't you do something? Why don't you say something? Why do you look at me that way?
I've been sick.
Hey. Here, Blackie, you'd better take this drink. Your Adam's apple is bobbing around in your throat like a jitterbug.
Apple nothing. That's my heart.
See, Klondike? He's not so tough. Why don't you shoot him?
Why don't I shoot him? I would. But I haven't got my gun.
Here, you can use mine.
Thanks.
It's just a cheap gun, but it'll do the trick.
What was that?
You missed me and hit the jackpot. Hey, now it's my turn.
He got me. He got me. I'm dying.
Klondike. Klondike, speak to me.
Darling, I'm going fast. But before I go, there's one thing I gotta know. You gotta tell me the truth, gal.
Of course I will. What is it, Klondike?
Tell me. Tell me. Tell me!
Who do you think's gonna play in the Rose Bowl this winter? That's what I'm gonna...
you, Marie Wilson and Charlie Butterworth, for your contribution to the evening's fun. And immediately after Tiny's message, there's a little vocal contribution I'd like to make. All right, Tiny?
Thank you, Al. Okay, Lud? That sentimental little ballad is called Hands Across the Table. Whether it conjures up a picture of two romantic people holding hands or a picture of Junior reaching across the table for a second piece of cake, I want you to remember this one fact. Those hands, no matter whose they are, can spread the germs of many common diseases. That's why I want you to realize how important it is to keep hands clean, to wash them regularly and always before meals with Lifebuoy, which not only removes dirt, but helps to remove germs. Teach the children this habit. Form it yourself. Always use Lifebuoy for hands and face as well as the bath.
Paul Wideman introduced to American audiences a song that was destined to become a modern jazz classic. But to go back just a little further, this same number was first played in Vienna by our own Lud Gluskin. At the time, the song was called Madonna. We know it as When Day Is Done.
When day is done and shadows fall, I dream of you. When day is done, I think of all the joys we knew. That yearning, returning to hold you in my arms. Won't go, love, I know, love, without you. Night has lost its charms when day is done and grass is wet with twilight dew. My lonely heart is sinking with a song. All of all I miss, your tender kiss, the whole day through.
To tell you that when we get to New York next week, our guest stars will be those magnificent madcaps Olson and Johnson. In addition, we'll have Parkey, Kate Thompson, Lud Gluskin's orchestra, and many others. One more thing, and very important too. Next week, we're going to make a special offer on this program that will interest each and every one of you. So be sure to listen in. Good night, everybody, and thanks from the bottom of my heart.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.